And you're going to be making... You've already made the instruments and you've already donated them to the library?
That's all part of the residency. When we do get to go there, finally, we'll play the instruments, we'll talk about them, then we'll donate them. And we're hoping that people will be able to not check these out, be able to look at them and play them in separate rooms, right. Which just doesn't seem like it's so possible yet. They got to bend some rules. But that is the idea, that you could go to the library, check out the record, listen to it, and then go into a room and actually see the instruments and play the instruments that these compositions were made on. And what's interesting, the drum machines that I used, those songs are still going to be in there until the batteries die within the machine.
So, and as long as they keep it plugged in, it shouldn't happen either. So,
totally.
It's so interesting because we've gone through such a weird transformation of the music industry now that we're like coming to this point where it's almost these objects as part of the, you know, where it was always forever, it was, you know, sell the 45s, get them out the door, you know? And now we're having to like find these new ways in order to make a unique object that can't just be, you know, carbon copied a zillion times on the net.
Interesting that you brought that up, 45s and weird objects.
Why don't we take a
interesting.
Look at
what do we have there?
What do we have here?
Welcome. Someone knows what time it is.
Welcome to QVC with Wolf Eyes.
QVC Shopping Network. We got to plug our Difficult Messages box.
Hold it
set.
Up a little bit. Get it next to your
Can
face.
You see
there
this?
You go.
Can yeah, you see
push
that?
It in.
Hello. There it is. So this is. Sorry. This is the Clock Box. It's part of our Difficult Messages series, which, again, ties right into the whole library idea and small batch musical object, yada, yada, sculpture. I always end with sculpture. And it's basically 4 7 inches that are limited to 50 each and a CD, and an original painting on the cover that we have turned into a clock as well. So you always know what time it is.
In case you forget.
No, that's great. You guys are all always multidisciplinary as it is anyway. You're constantly creating a thousand different ways. So it's good to be able to, like, you know, to knock down those walls in between disciplines, you know. Why can't I be an artist and a musician? Why can't I be, you know, why can't I be a writer and a musician? You're just creating. It's just that, you know.
I feel like it's all the same thing.
Right.
I mean, go back to the splatter, and it's like if you just look at it as a spraying of creativity. I don't know. It puts my mind at ease a little bit.
And you guys, as Alex said a couple of days ago, have this high percentage of turnover from ideation to actually applying it and nailing it and getting it out.
My Wi-Fi's off. Will you tell me what ideation is?
Okay.
Because I can't Google it real quick.
Funking it up? Funking it.
Funking it.
Yeah. You thunked it up.
You got to think it, and then you got to do it. Idea
there it is.
To elation.
See?
Thanks for the translation
to
Neanderthal.
Yeah.
I got a lot of little Neanderthal.
I
got
to get back to single syllable words.
True. It's true.
Thanks.
It's true.
Good.
Good. But yeah. Looking at the whole mess of two decades at once makes you kind of realize how you can do pretty much anything. You know, you can write a story about a phone or some vitamins. And yeah, you know, it.
Dream it, do it.
Dream it, do it. It really, freedom has always been pretty easy to spell. Pretty easy.
Right.
Well, you know, it goes back to the, you know, Michigan scene. You're always, people like it when you're yourself, you know? And here we are, ionospheres of ourselves. What is it? Ionic?
Yeah, that's it. You said it right.
Ionic?
Yeah, ionic. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm getting a strong...
What do you think? Yeah, we should...
I feel like it's time to...
Let's do that. Why don't you guys jam, and I will play some splatter from the W Trip website, which all go visit at wtrip.org and see this without me curating it, or you can just watch here. We'll throw up some of the photo splatter.
Wait. Yeah, so this is some shortwave recordings I made up in Manistique, Michigan this past weekend. You can hear the fire sort of in the background. Let me pitch it up a little. And here I am walking down to the lake.
Crunching.
Is this some, like, what you're receiving? It's like some sort of crazy UP music? Or like,
Right?
This Escanaba noise?
I think it's a radar called CODAR, which is measures...
CODAR, like Conan.
Totally. Can you hear the water?
Mutison Mangle.
Can you hear the water?
No, man. I can't hear no water. It measures wave height and speed on Lake Michigan.
And transmits it into radio? And transmits it into sound?
Yeah, right?
No, I love it. That's great.
I don't know exactly what it's doing. I studied a little bit of shortwave this morning to try to figure out.
So it was literally a short study.
Short study.
Yeah. You might get a C-minus out of it.
I think I got a C-minus.
Dude, a C-minus is a Wolf A+.
Still passes.
Yep. It means they just don't want to see you again.
I mean, this is another instance of, I press record. Do I get an A+? No.
You know about that.
Yeah.
You know about that.
They call the lowest scoring doctor that comes out of medical school doctor.
But we've been really into making these terrariums, which were...
This is what I've heard of terrariums.
So the terrarium series is part of the Difficult Messages boxes as well. And we're just trying to make synthetic nature, that's all. And Moscow's was like, it's a huge movement of... there's a huge art movement up in Montreal. No, Toronto. There's a research spot, something. He'll have to fill me in again.
Well, tell you what, I'm working on that right now, so let's get... keep on going, but I'm going to get the Zoom hooked up and see if we can't get Alex in with us.
So...
This is a frog pond, part of the terrarium series that Moscow's did. It's called Kaz Frog Pond. I'm going to fade that in like a sick DJ.
Sick beats.
Got sick beats.
Hear that? I believe he used an 808 and a guitar. Make himself a sweet frog pond. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just thudding away.
King Kermit up in this.
Yeah, but I've been really into walking in the woods a lot and listening. Like, I think a lot of people right now.
That was the first thing I really noticed living on the east side, over by a bunch of factories. Was the quiet, the insane quiet that came when the lockdown first hit. You could actually hear things that you never heard in your environment before.
I mean, I started, I became a recordist overnight.
So what were you doing before? Before you deemed yourself a recordist?
Well, I wasn't taking a field recorder around with me everywhere I went, at all.
You use the Zoom H4 or Zoom H6?
Yeah, it's a Zoom Handy.
Oh, just
H2N.
H2N?
Yeah.
Still a nice piece of equipment.
It's pretty all right. But yeah, the Terrarium series.
Hey, could you jump on the Zoom and let's get Alex into this discussion?
Definitely. Where is that little rascal?
Yeah, we got his picture on, ladies and gentlemen. Alex Moscos from
C-Cut. He's unable to join.
We just need to get his audio going on.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Sorry, there's a... Zoom is not my favorite. It always kicks me off. Wham, wham. Here we go. And you got to let me in.
Oh, yeah.
And that, the being let in. I'd like to leave my doors unlocked.
Test 1, 2.
There he is.
Hey.
There he is.
Moskos, did you hear that frog pond?
I did.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Yeah, you incredible frog pond.
Via 808 and Moskitar.
Moskitar.
I think I put a piece of paper in the strings for that one.
Ooh, classic. Johnny Cash, look out.
That's right.
That's the toaster. Sorry, I had a piece of guitar or a piece of paper. I think I played Jessica's synthesizer on the frog pond.
Oh, really? I thought that was...
Tennis.
Wow. I did play it.
What were the terrariums that we did?
We did frogs.
Carwarsh.
Carwarsh.
Tennis.
Tennis. And I did a Pontiac Trail one that was just sort of. I did a tunnel system as well, which was just kind of eerie dripping sounds, right? Buzzing.
Classic torture chamber, haunted. Yeah. Edgar Allan Poe sounds.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
The field recording a score. It's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. What was the? You reminded me when we started doing this that there was a huge Canadian study of this practice, right? Like, can you remind me again?
I mean, acoustic ecology.
There you go. I couldn't remember. That's a big word. Yeah. Too many syllables.
Yeah.
Too many syllables.
That's a university.
That's a girthy one.
Yeah.
Well, who was the main guy in that? Because he was from close by us. I think he was from Sarnia originally.
Hildegard Westerkamp and Armory Schaefer.
Armory Schaefer, yeah. I think he was from Sarnia, which is like right across the river from where I grew up.
And I was telling Leith last night that not Michigan State. What's it? U of M?
U of M? Yeah, that's the Michigan, blue one.
The blue one? The Wolverine
the one that's
one?
Not as good.
They have the world's biggest Canadian studies department. I don't know what they do over there.
Right.
They study Dranolith 24 hours a day.
We were trying to figure out who needs that much help figuring out Canadians.
Whoa.
hold on.
Yeah. Rewind.
I don't know what the bell's for.
Are you guys ready for a question from the chat?
Yeah, please.
Is there going to be another Trip Metal Fest?
Good question.
That's a good one.
Is
that from you, Moskos?
Yeah, you asking that?
No, that's from Jimmy Jazz.
Jimmy Jazz.
Oh, JJ, what up?
JJ, what up? I'm still thinking about Jimmy Jazz. It's like my favorite clothing store. Do you guys know that store at all?
No.
That's bizarre.
In Pontiac?
Well, Rob, you know Rob
Bass.
Rob Bass. He does a lot of like
Ron Bass.
Ron Bass, not Rob. Not to be used with Rob. Ron Bass.
It takes two to make things go right.
No, not Ron. He does a lot of custom leather jacket paintings, and that's why I first discovered him was at the Jimmy Jazz store, which incredible almost couture type clothing there. A lot of handmade stuff.
Detroit or
there's one in Madison Heights, I believe, just in the mall, you know. Mm-hmm. Really strange place. Anyways, another Trip Metal Fest. We probably will. But I mean, that's honestly when we started having the discussion to do another Trip Metal Fest, and it kind of sparked the whole idea with the Discord, and the collaborations, the digital collaborations. Because honestly, remember when Johnny said Noise was dead?
Everyone lost their minds.
Moskos was the first person to tell me that it was getting intense at like 7 in the morning.
Well,
yeah, because you were in Florida at the time.
We were in Miami. Yeah, that was an interview for the Miami Herald. Anyways, that kind of sparked Trip Metal Fest, and that sparked a lot of the weirder, absurd, and sometimes aggressive internet interactions that we just kind of had to roll with, right? Like, God, people get really sensitive. You say one thing, like, noise is dead, you know? And but drop the term trip metal in the same sentence.
Yep, all of a sudden, where that sheet metal dead body hate go?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. And then you drop psychotic jazz, right. Jimmy jazz.
It's the old bait and switch. Right?
Yep.
But
what's the difference between trip metal and psy jazz?
Yeah.
Huge.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, like, huge.
Epic.
Yeah.
It's like
big.
What's like, the difference between opera and Run DMC?
What's
you know?
The difference between Living Wage and Returnables?
Eh. state to state, I think. Pretty much.
But tell us if there's going to be another fest.
Oh, well, probably.
The Discord is where that type of...
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, you know, we're looking at the whole idea... The best parts of Trip Metal and Trip Metal Fest, doing that sort of a lot easier. But I don't know, we might do another Trip Metal Fest. But for now, we're just going to exchange, 8 megabyte tracks on our silly chat board and tell jokes, yeah. You know, and that, to me, that's the best Trip Metal Fest there ever will be.
Yep,
you know,
a couple of DJ Arrow beats and Sick Beats Show and right. Kendraplex and everyone, yep. And we're doing it.
Now, to kind of take that out to a broader perspective, like, yeah. Will we be doing once we start getting rolling again? Will we be doing that same sort of thing? Do you think fests like that will continue on? I mean, yeah. We've lost a lot of venues and all of that, and just kind of where you see that sort of where you see the business.
I mean, we're in Pontiac, Michigan right now, and the Crowfoot is the local rock bar. They do all sorts of electronic music too, but they're doing their shows in the parking lot right now, and anyone who has seen it, it just looks insane.
So there you have it, folks. Trip Metal Fest will be at the Crowfoot.
Well,
in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Just show up.
Late Father's Day.
Their model for festivals is, I mean, it's small cages, more or less, which it looks insane, but there's a garbage can and a small table and room for 10 of your friends. Kind of ideal.
I know. What
actually,
more do you need?
Yeah.
Couple of $5 Caesar
cage.
It's pretty much a cage with a small table and a trash can, but not even a real trash can. It's just a hefty bag draped against the fence.
So it's not like a kennel, all right? It's just fences. So wait, maybe
no,
cage is a little.
It looks a little like a kennel.
So you're telling me that Carolina Rainbow has been playing at the Crowfoot for every week?
Wait.
A cage.
What?
A garbage can.
There is some black light. I don't know. Carolina Rainbow.
So anyway, you see positive things. You see, we're not going to need too much of a translation.
Don't have Shaquille O'Neal in a genie bottle to tell us how.
No,
again, I'm really looking forward to doing shows.
Every morning I wake up and ask for Shaquille O'Neal in a genie bottle.
But it's scary.
Right, it is scary.
It's still a little scary. I mean, I have a little anxiety about it too. But
have anybody promoters reaching out yet, or is it
couple? I mean, I think there's going to be a big uptick in localized scenes and us just hanging out with our friends. I don't think Wolf Eyes is on the short list to be booked anywhere.
The offers we got have been in that type font that's just symbols.
Yeah, right. So I'm not sure.
I don't know if that's like the post-Rona right. way to communicate.
No, that was just that's just Tangled Ray. That's how he types.
Oh, that guy. Well, it's about 1:30.
Tangled Ray is offering you guys gigs.
Well,
in symbols.
In symbols. Symbolically.
In his mom's basement.
I mean, what is a gig symbolically?
Well, it's a cage with a table and a trash can.
A Carolina gig.
Yeah, it's Carolina gig.
A little black light. Black light's all right.
What was it? It's not CBGBs. It's a tape player.
GBGBs.
GBGBs.
BCGBs.
Nice. BC, Neanderthal. Now we're back there again.
Yeah.
Back there again.
any questions, Moscow's?
Going back,
please.
Yeah.
Going back to the Discord, it's not the first time you guys have had an internet space for, you know, the whole crew. I'm thinking of the Hanson American tapes. Yahoo message board, which was super active.
Yeah, yeah.
And was kind of the meeting place, the first virtual meeting place.
Absolutely. Free of advertisements, except for endless dead bodies on cassette tapes.
Yeah, the sheet metal set.
Sheet metal seed. And lots and lots of,
tour,
you know,
announcements.
Tour announcements, yeah. But photos,
where
too.
All the dates are TBD.
Yeah, totally.
It just depends if Finkbeiner and Schoen were booking that day.
No, I miss that. I miss those. The simplicity of just the message board and it.
Right. And that's kind of the simplicity of the Discord that, you know, that's coming back. Is just, yeah. It looks like a billboard
system.
The
Discord
system.
Really does look like an old school message board.
Yeah.
Except you can play 8-bit files as loops. You can Everyone can post their loops and you can all play them at the same time. It's amazing.
See, I love that.
How do people find the Wolf Eyes Discord?
If you go to our website, WTRIP.org, and scroll past the party line, and it's in between the audio archive and the party line. There'll be a Discord link that's an open invite to anyone who wants to come join us over there. It's a small group right now.
Between a rock and a hard place.
No one really knows what to do with it, but we've been trying to continuously post little snippet, little sound bites and...
See if I can bring it up here to
you know,
show.
But that's the dream, and it's been working. Like, the first piece we played, the fiction, the vitamin bed and the phone nightmare, those are in the audio archive to play, and those were actually conceived through the website, where Twig submitted some strings, and John and I both read stories. Well, actually, Tangled Ray read the stories.
Little rat.
Yeah.
That's Twig Harper.
Twig Harper, Twango for short.
Here's the website's front page, and if you just scroll down to the bottom.
Yeah, right between.
That's where you find the Discord
there
link right there.
And it's an open invite, and if it's not, just hit us up someplace and we'll invite you. But it should be open. But that rascal.
I want to ask you guys about building the instruments. I don't know if you may have touched on that already. Asking that question.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, and I also want to talk to you guys about fiction. So let's start with the instruments. You guys have been hand building instruments since the beginning. I assume you still are.
Yeah.
Maybe just talk a bit about how that came about. What the process is. I mean, I know Johnny's scrapping PCB tubes and. Nate's hacking away at old consumer electronics.
Yeah, I remember. What was the story about how you wanted a soprano sax, but you had to pretty much make your own? I mean, that's how long ago it was.
Yeah, it was. There was Marshall Music had a display of a bunch of overpriced horns, and I had a wild skater cat that would do anything you would dare him to do. I was going to give him like $20 to run in and grab a soprano and run out. And he bottomed out on it for the last second, didn't do it. So I just wanted it so bad I couldn't get it. So I just went to, there's a hardware store, Ace Hardware, right next there. So I just got PVC and just hacked it up and heated up steak knives for the holes like a recorder and just kind of got used to that sound, and when I finally got a soprano, I couldn't get the sounds that I wanted out of that, you know. So.
And how old was this? I mean, how long ago was
it? Like 2 weeks ago.
Wow, you've come a long ways.
Three.
You're a quick study.
Three weeks ago.
Three. You came over with that weird...
Right.
Yep.
You're a quick study for a Neanderthal.
After Mother's Day.
After Mother's Day.
Before Father's Day. Yeah.
I mean, we've been digging in the trash since day one. I mean, that's totally true. And that's where all the ideas, everything came from. Wolf Eyes was found in the garbage, you know. The
thrift stores.
Thrift stores. Yeah. And it really does go back to, I have been thinking about that a lot lately, how the thrift store, and I mentioned that earlier, but the thrift store really, it was everything for us in the 90s. It was the clothing we wore. It was the instruments we would play. It was the amplifiers, it was the turntables, it was the records, it was the best things. It defined who we were sometimes. Like, look at this thing I found. Like, wow, it's a Space Invaders shirt. But it was intense.
I used to take Friday off of work and meet Nate in Redford at like 9 a.m. And he had like a 20 thrift store route.
Wow.
That was just incredible.
Yeah. Livonia had really, still does, has great thrift stores.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it was all about that, well, like
I
discovery.
I finally got no reason to go to Livonia now. Yeah. That's like my first one.
They got a good Chick-fil-A there.
Oh.
Wah, wah, wah. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Ejected. But that's really where all the early inspiration came from. I mean, gosh, you know, I grew up in a hippie house, but everyone loved, Rolling Stones and Zeppelin. I never heard anything that strange or out there. And, you know, finding like a Martin Denny record in a thrift store and hearing something sort of strange that wasn't guitar, that would send me off the rails. And I would just endlessly try to find something I could get my hands into and make it squeal or sound like something else.
Right. And also this was part of the community for starting out, right? I mean, it wasn't just you guys. There was
about four or five of us that were really had stumbled their way into making synthesizer-esque sounds with, consumer electronics. I didn't meet Olsen until probably like 97 maybe. And I had been in a bunch of electronic hack bands before that.
Have you read your Amazon reviews?
There's none for those ones, unfortunately. There might be one for Mini Systems, which was the original, like, craptastic, you know, children's toy and spray foam sculptural, like, group, you know. And still a lot of the ideas from that era of spray foam thrift store keyboards. I mean, that was still here.
You know, and that was, it was weirdly like, it was this thing that like erupted out of the collective unconscious of the world. Because, there's like Toy Death from, what were they, from like Australia? They're doing the same, you know, it's like,
Reed Gonzalez, right? He was like one of the first that I contacted about, I was like, I'm doing this crazy, I've seen you are doing something very similar with Casio keyboards and whatnot. And I wrote him and he wasn't super, super forward with information about it. And it was a kind of a guarded thing, like, because it was absolutely magical, you know?
QR Gazas or old school guy, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name exactly. But there was not that many people, and anyone who was doing it kind of stuck together. Yeah, there was an instant community formed. When I went to Europe for the first time, it wasn't really there yet. And I had a MT-240, Casio MT-240, that I always go on and on about. Like, oh, look at this. You connect these patches and it just makes this, you know, instant Schaefer composition. And it's totally true. I mean, there's no way around it. But the first time I went to Europe playing this thing and people were like, what? You know, like, hadn't really made it there yet. So I think by like the 99 to 2000, that's when we saw a huge explosion in people playing homemade electronic instruments and circuit bent instruments specifically.
And I've always liked how you've described that as a form of almost a folk music, that it's
absolutely.
Like it's a folk form.
Yeah, and it comes from the thrift stores that come from people's houses. I mean, it's the full package there.
And it's a people like it's a musical genre. Erupting from its place, it's not piped in from any place else.
And it goes back to the whole scotch tape and splatter, you know, aesthetic. You know, it needs to have something altered somehow to make it your own. You know,
well, definitely. I mean, when we started, there was no other way, like absolutely no other way.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have trouble. Like, I'm still building instruments. Here's one. I don't know where the.
Yep, you got it.
Here's one, and this is sounds very similar, but it took me a while to find. Two circuit bent, So anyways, this was made by This was a design made by Peter Blasser. And in the early 2000s and late 90s, he was looking at the circuit bend sounds that were coming out of the weird homemade stuff we were making, and he started to try to design circuits that would do similar things. And honestly, when that happened back then, it was way over my head. Like, building an actual PCB, building a circuit from scratch seemed nearly impossible. You know, I hardly knew how to solder, you know.
Right.
I could, but, you know, I didn't know what I was doing with a potentiometer, except for, literally, I learned how to use a potentiometer by taking apart an Atari joystick and being like, oh, okay, so that's down, and that's up.
Right, right.
And applied that with bubble gum to a Casio keyboard, and it was like, okay, well, there's the pitch bend. You know, and that was that was mind-blowing to me.
Well, absolutely. I mean, people are – it's almost like a bravery. You need to jump into something like that, you know. Once you do it, is, you know, well, that makes complete sense. Yeah. It's a system, you know.
And it is a system. It's just a kit. That's what I said. It's just a kit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really like Peter's stuff. And years later, getting into that, into his designs, it's funny, it's a full circle, like kind of we talked about the library thing and how looking at our older instruments and looking at the current instruments is best looked at from a distance, an overview. You know, there's just, again, a splatter going on of learning and unlearning Neanderthal and
mistakes.
Yeah.
The important ones are the mistakes, definitely.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's experimental music.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I mean, how many people do you know actually experiment? You know, it's not, you know, you're going to lose a lot of a lot of electronics and, you know.
Yeah, no, it's there's constant learning, unlearning, you know.
Letting the smoke out, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Done it once or twice.
Letting the smoke rise.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well,
I wanted to move over to ask you about the fiction. There's been a real, you both seem, I mean, Johnny's always done a lot of writing. I was going to say, I remember the Dead Machine, there's an era where Johnny always started a Dead Machine set off with like a two sentence science fiction story.
Yeah.
Which was, that was incredible. but you guys should talk about writing and sci-fi a bit. Because it's not just writing, but it's it. You guys, I mean, the whole thing is, since day one, seems like it's been rooted in science fiction to some degree, or horror.
Yeah, or, I mean, Johnny
magical.
Introduced me to magical realism and the altering of something, you know, to make it something else, but still be the original thing is exactly what we're doing with our instruments. So it's, there is no real difference. Again, it's just one big creative splatter and spray. There's, you know what I mean? I really think that the fiction is it's just part of this. It's no different than composing a song. And I've noticed this lately. I've been making these short, like 5 minute, I'm calling them radio shows, but these 5 minute, other people are like, this is a show? I'm like, yeah. But it's the same thing as composing a song. I mean, you know this, you make radio shows all the time, Alex, you know, and I find the similarities.
That's for sure.
Yeah, there's the narrative, there's the beginning, end, plot, you know, drama.
I think Smegma showed us and would always show us at their house this old jazz musician, Lee Rocky, and they would pull out old reel-to-reels of him, and it was experiments with electronics. It was radio shows, fiction, and stuff like that. And it was so inspiring to see, you know, an artist be able to do all this stuff but still maintain a motif around it.
Well, that was how you had – he was rehearsing so he could get jobs, you know, as whatever it may be, you know, with his voice, doing ads. So, the reels we were listening to sometimes were just hours of him reading newspapers, you know, just – that's it.
Explain to the people, I'm sure a lot know, but probably same a lot also don't know, who Smegma are.
Oh, well, You better ask somebody. Smegma.
Long-running West Coast freak troupe. Yeah. Los Angeles Free Music Society crew. Mm-hmm.
Portland.
Yeah. Weirdo underground lurkers from the jump. Visual artists, turntablists. Yeah.
They're us, but older. And that's when we met them, it really felt like life-affirming. Like, it's okay to be this. I'm going to end up like that. Yes, take me to that place. It's You're like on the right path.
It's like a mindset. Yeah. Lee Rocky had it, and we were like, well, what was before Lee Rocky? And they were like, I don't know. Lee Rocky was always talking about the Bear Talk string quartets as being the originators of like a cold urban sound, you know? So it's kind of like a mentality or an aesthetic that has always kind of, you know, sunk into the seams of your cultural jacket.
Wow.
That hopefully a crew coming up will get up, you know, get up on.
That's
it's a
like
feeling.
A bizarre attribution, because like Bartok was like Hungarian folk music or something like that is where he pulled from.
Yeah, but those string quartets are like gnarly.
Yeah, they are certainly there.
There's nothing
that.
Chill about them. No. You know? So, you know.
Too bad we can't cue some of those up.
I mean, the whole Lee Rocky thing kind of opened up a lot of ideas and
explain who Lee Rocky is.
Lee Rocky was
he was a drummer for hire in Portland. It was when you would I think me and you Moskos talked about this almost like the hockey yearbook. There was a jazz musician book, you know, back in the 30s and the 20s. You would go to a town and they would have the yellow pages of jazz musicians, and to even get your name in the book was a symbol that you were able to hang, you know. Pine Top Smith comes into town looking for a boogie woogie trio, and opens up the pages, and Lee Rocky's the drummer to go to. You know, so it was like an early jazz musician that had to be down with everything, and he was a freaker artist. You know, a mate. You know, the full thing. You know,
I think you have to be, and that's kind of what we learned is. You kind of have to be all those things, including a little electronic engineer. Even if it's just, you know, this much, it's important. It'll really help you in your practice, understand what the hell's going on, or forget what's going on and it'd be okay, you know? You have to be able to write. I mean, this is just, I mean, my girlfriend just graduated from grad school, and she kind of reinforced all these ideas, like, yes, to be an artist now, you need to write. You need to be able to talk. You need to be able to stretch a painting. Know how to use software. You know, yada yada. Like you have to be a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a good way to be, considering we're living in an age where people's attention spans are just like, you know,
zip zero.
Zip zero. You know.
And the first piece of advice there is identify where the transformer is and stay on the low voltage side of it.
Or just don't do anything that's powered off for more than 9 volts.
Right, yeah, just run it from batteries to start off with.
Or the first thing is don't listen to advice.
Right, well, no, listen to that one. You don't want to do the jiggle dance.
I used to modify television sets.
Oh, yeah, nice explosive capacitors in the back. So, yeah.
Some are on the site. Give the instrument
this
page
is true.
A look.
Check out my TV mods.
Beautiful.
But, yeah, no, I think you... If I didn't make my own instruments or, you know, be interested in so much about electronic music, not just the MP3s I have, you know, I don't think I would still be so obsessed with making it, you know, just having a sweet delay pedal and a tape player, used to do it for me, you know, when I first started out. But yeah, learning about Smegma, it is a simple rig. Used to be, that's all I, you know, but now it's like my mind's a little more open and interested in, every facet of, electronic music, electronic instruments, you know?
We got about 10 minutes left. You guys want to,
Oh, right.
Some more noise,
Moskowster, or... we got a final question before we dip into our surprise finale.
There's a question about the British new wave of science fiction.
Interesting.
Are you guys familiar with that?
No.
I actually couldn't tell you who is in the British sci-fi. No, new wave. Sorry.
I know some British sci-fi people, of course, but I don't know about the new wave of British heavy metal science fiction writers.
Right.
I mean,
current like oh, in recent memory, or talking about a '60s, '70s.
I mean, I think it refers to sci-fi in the '60s and '70s. Is
right.
Bitch, it was dope.
The new wave is considered. So I guess British authors from that period.
Right. I mean, all that stuff was great stuff. So.
Olson, what's the last sci-fi novel you read?
I've actually got a grip of Isaac Asimov's. I forget the name of it, but he did the small little newspaper things you would get, you know, it's kind of like Maximum Rock and Roll of science fiction in the 80s, yeah. You know, short stories. I've been digging through those.
Those old collections are awesome. My dad had stacks of them.
Yeah, like, they're great. And then, you know, they got cool fictions. Ads and stuff, you know, so that they get to cheap. I've been digging through those, you know, a ton.
The question in the chat specified just now that referring to things like Ballard, course, and John Brunner.
Don't know JB.
Oh, or you should check in.
It's good. Check in.
Yeah.
That's good. But, I actually, the last thing I just read was The Stranger, you know, and that was equally as chilling today. Like, you know, me and Nate, and you know, we've been talking about
Camus, The Stranger.
We've been talking about magical realism. You know, I think nowadays, after just what the world went through, absurdism is equally hits home. You know, the absurdism started at trying to deal with the atrocities of the war and stuff like that. And I think, you know, we're all living through that now with all the deaths, and it's kind of a pragmatic way to view it. And it's equally inspiring. You know, it's chilling even now.
Right.
You know?
It's almost like taking ownership of the native absurdity of existence to become an absurd artist, just to, like, you own it and you can manipulate
that this thing is just, this existence is just
nothing,
but
there's some joy in that, and thus splatter. So
I want to end by playing premiering Wolf Eyes with Marshall Allen, and I want to just backpedal a little. So in 2019 we spent the whole year traveling the world, collaborating with as many people as we could. I think we did about 50 to 60 when it was said and done. And a lot of those are on the website as well, so check those out. And we, midway through this, actually a week towards the end of this tour and the whole experience, we got contacted to play a set with Marshall Allen. And that was sort of the end of our collaborative tour, you know.
Era,
yeah. And
it was with the Pyramids.
Yeah.
It's a crazy gig.
And I just wanted to play that because it has not been played. And I'm really proud of this recording. It's not the best mix. It's just a board recording, but I do think it hits a lot of the points of the collaborative tour, and with Marshall playing, kind of knocks it way out of my expectations. And
all right.
Before you get to that, I just want to thank, on behalf of CKT, Sony Per Il Popolo, you guys all of you for joining, doing this with us, and Leith, of course, for moderating and doing all the tech.
Absolutely, thanks.
Hey, yeah.
She did an incredible job.
Yes, she
did. Thank you, Leith.
Except for the beginning, but I'm
hey, man, that's the scotch tape.
That's the scotch tape. All right, I'm going to take you out. Here we go. Just 2, 3, 4.
How's everyone doing tonight? You all right? All right. Let's turn the lights down a little lower. Kind of dim them. I want to read a poem. A little more. Just for a second while the poem is going. Well, he swallowed the past and left no traces. Losing track where he has been. Well, those days decayed into thoughts that he erased then. But I forget the lies that tied us in. Do I hear you talking backwards? Or is that mirror your twin? Is what you're saying lack words? Or am I just losing my memories again? Well, in a second I'll have nothing left. Well, in that moment, well, we could all just drop dead. One a minute more, I'll have even less. Can't you see how we've all been so misled?
The number one radio station in Montreal. We give you the sun, the moon, the rain, the stars and the mountain. CKUT give you the word.
In Quebec, vaccination against COVID-19 is underway, but not everybody is protected yet. Even if you've been vaccinated, you still need to respect basic health measures, like wearing a mask, maintaining social distancing, and washing your hands regularly. You must also get tested if you have symptoms and follow self-isolation guidelines. Find out about the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Follow all the health guidelines, all the time, no exceptions. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
From Pacifica Radio, this is Voices of the Middle East and North Africa. I am Malihera Zozan. In his new article, in New Left Review titled, Turkey at the Crossroad, UC Berkeley sociologist Cihan Tuval writes, 10 years ago, Erdogan's Turkey was hailed in Washington as an example to the Muslim world, a free market, pro-American, Islamic democracy, with high growth rates, renowned cultural monuments, and beautiful beaches, quote, a model partner, Obama affirmed in 2009, as he congratulated the leader of the Justice and Development Party, AKP,